Good evening, Detroit Lakes. This is the Vikings Territory Breakdown on KDLM Sports Radio. I am your host, Joe Johnson, owner of the OOFDA Sports Network, which is comprised of multiple different sports websites like Vikings Territory. .com, purpleptsd.com, franchisetag.com, so on and so forth. But this show primarily, or basically, solely focuses on the Minnesota Vikings, and it's been quite the week for the team, for news regarding the team, for hype surrounding the team. I can't remember a time since I started covering the Vikings, first as a hobby and then as a living, in 2015, that the hype train got started this early in the off season. But it's pretty interesting and fun to behold. I am joined, as always, by Mr. Joe Oberle, who has covered the Vikings for a lot longer than I have, and so maybe, I mean, do you recall, first of all, how you doing, and second of all, do you recall a time where people were this jazzed this early in the off season?
I'm doing fine, thank you. You know me, I've always been kind of crotchety about preseason. You know, this is when all the hope is sold and when everybody gets fired up and everybody's team is great, and the hype does raise to a new level. But this took it even higher. You know, I just, before we got on the air here, I was texting with my son, and I said, I have big news about Hunter and Richardson. He goes, yeah, now we're gonna have tell him it's great news. It's now they have a defensive line that's for real. I thought was kind of funny. So, people are excited, and you and I have talked about this because the linchpin was Hunter. They had to get him in here for everything they did in the off season on the defense, and it was a lot. It feels like 2014 all over again when Zimmer was trying to rebuild that defense. And for everything that was done, this is the key, that A, Hunter's healthy, and B, that they can get him in and get him happy. And it looks like they've, you know, put a pin in it to renegotiate it next year and see if he is healthy, which I really like. It's great to get him in, there's still some question marks there. You and I have talked about, you know, it's like it's a neck injury, and until he's out there and hitting, and will he know that, A, can he hold up? B, will he be gun shy? C, you know, will he be Daniil of old? So I think it's great that the way the Timberwolves, the way the Vikings handled it, and, made sure they did a Vikings good deal, and one that Daniil was willing to sign.
It really worked out. I mean, the way that I kept framing it, whenever it would come up as a topic in the agenda, was that essentially every variable for this situation was bad. The fact that he was injured, the fact that pre-injury he was on track to be the highest paid defensive player in the league, and that he probably wanted that money more now than ever, knowing that he could be, you know, one snap away from, you know, his career ending. And so it really, the way that they turned it into something where they can cover all their bases and not, you know, and this sounds really awful to say, because it sounds like I'm dehumanizing somebody and looking at it from the perspective of what benefits the team financially. Especially considering it's a neck injury, but
You said one snap away when I thought of the neck.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, from the perspective of not tethering themselves to somebody whose career could end, and then they end up owing him all this money for you know, the next 5 years or something.
Right, right.
It really ended up working out well for everybody involved. And then you throw the Sheldon Richardson signing into it, which I don't think anybody saw coming.
Right.
You know, and I know that they always, one of the tropes or things that people always say about Zimmer is he loves having a fresh rotation on his defensive line, mm-hmm. right? And he likes to bring guys in and out and keep them fresh, and bringing Sheldon Richardson back, who was here a couple seasons ago, I think helps because he has knowledge of the defense. I still am a little head scratcher. I'm scratching my head just a little bit in regards to the fact that they would invest the little bit of cap money that they have left in Richardson as opposed to maybe looking for a veteran right edge, but maybe there's more news to come or something. I don't know, but I feel like that's the one sort of weakness left on the defense, if you want to call it that.
Well, you nailed it. I mean, I don't think anybody saw it coming. All of a sudden I saw that he was suddenly available from Cleveland, who had thought they made a pretty decent offer to him, and he turned it down, and then all of a sudden he's a free agent, and boom, the Vikings are after him, and he wants to come back. I find that whole thing surprising for sure, and head-scratching. It really is. I don't know, A, why he wants to come back here. If so, why did he leave in the first place? Maybe, I suppose money was tight when he left here the first time, so he wanted to go out and get a bigger contract. But, you know, and I read somewhere he was one of the top guys available that had played all 16 games last year, 17, I guess, for Cleveland. So he's been healthy, and that of course scares me. You know, like is he overdue for an injury? But it really came out of nowhere, surprised me, and I think it's good. It's amazing to think that he's a backup.
I know,
and you know, does this then make the other interior linemen act like Aaron Rodgers and want to sit out? I don't know. I just it's amazing. But you know, it sounds like Richardson's all, you know, ready to be a backup or, you know, a platoon guy and get in there when his opportunity comes. And it's listening to Zimmer talk about it is he wants to use all their skills and there are a variety of skills in that group there. And keep them fresh and use them in different situations. So it could be really fun for Zimmer to try to game plan with these guys. And boy, we went from 0 to 100 in pretty short order here, didn't we, on the defensive line?
Yeah, and I mean the way you're right. I mean it kind of harkens back to the Saints playoff game where Zimmer put the edge guys on the inside and the defensive tackles on the outside, and it kind of blocked Drew Brees' throwing lanes because he's not the tallest guy. And I've seen some inklings of people saying that maybe they'll use Richardson on the edge, the right edge, mm-hmm. as, in some you know, pass rushing downs or situations. But yeah, I mean, it's just really been something where sometimes, you know, because Purple PTSD and Vikings territory just underwent this new overhaul, like the theme is different and it's a lot faster and more streamlined. And sometimes when I click on a story that I find when I'm testing, like through Google News, and then I click back, it doesn't go back to Google News. It'll go to like see more stories, and sometimes the stories are like 2 years old, and when I saw the Sheldon Richardson thing, that's what I thought it was. I was like, that can't be, that's not real news, that must be from back in 2018.
You went in the Wayback Machine, yes.
pretty much, but it is a little exciting. I mean, there's an article on our site from one of our franchise tagged writers who also writes for the Viking sites from time to time, and he essentially said that the Vikings suddenly are Super Bowl contenders. I mean, I can see where people are coming from on paper. I mean, you know, you look at it and it's you know, Zimmer came out this week and essentially said that it's a completely different defense this season, which, I mean, for the most part, it is, you know, with the combination of the injuries that they had last year. I mean, they didn't even really technically have a real nose tackle last year. Mm-hmm. They're gonna have these two just massive guys clogging up the middle of the line. They're gonna have Barr back. They're gonna have Kendrick's back. So it is exciting. I mean, a little bit of it, you know, is I still worry a little bit about the fact that they got rid of Mike Hughes for no reason, and they are thin in regards to depth at the cornerback position. I know they signed a couple guys who no one's ever heard of who may, you know, be special teams guys or contribute if there's a catastrophe. But I guess we have to hope that Patrick Peterson really holds out and that, mm-hmm. that Dantzler doesn't get injured and continues to progress. But the defense is night and day going to be different, and, you know, it's going to go from, what was it, like 27th last season? It should, you know, get back up to like a top 10 unit like we're used to.
If they can coalesce and really, you know, pick up everything Zimmer's laying down, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's part of it, you know, and that Gladney thing is just rough. But I know what your answer is going to be. You kind of alluded to it already, but I mean, in regards to Super Bowl aspirations, I mean, I would say at this point they should be the favorites to win the division. Just with all the stuff going on with Aaron Rodgers, who knows what's going on and how that's going to play out. The one thing that I just don't understand that would negate all the positive news, in my opinion, is that these articles about Dakota Dozier being a starting left guard during the season. First of all, I would bet everything that I own that will not happen. Mm-hmm. And there's absolutely no reason for it. He graded out on PFF at 30 or below like 40% of the time last year. You don't draft a guy like Wyatt Davis or bring in even the trade they made for Mason Cole, and then you stick with Dakota Dozier, who was atrocious. I don't understand where that's coming from. But if that were to happen, that would be a gigantic issue. You know, maybe to start the season to get some of these guys up to speed. I know Zimmer came out and said that Wyatt Davis needs to lose 5 pounds, which, why even bring that up in a press conference? He could do that in like literally 2 days. But, you know, I think to your point.
How come I can't? Wait, never mind.
You know, I've gained 5 pounds since the show started. to your point of the defense gelling, though, I think it's the same with the offensive line. And so I think the best way to sum up these Super Bowl sort of hype articles is there's a lot of variables that need to get up to speed very quickly for that to happen. And if history is any indicator, in Minnesota, that's probably not going to happen. But it's fun to think about.
Well, that's good. We've got the consensus there, and it's nice to hear that you're not ringing the bell on that hype train for the Super Bowl yet. It's just silly to talk about because even if they were on paper the best team, you know, so much can happen during the season with injuries, yep, and everything else. So it's silly to even say anybody is, you know, the number one guy, unless you want more clicks for some reason from Vikings fans. But I do think they're back on schedule of their on again, off again, you know, whatever, you know, to make the playoffs. If they don't make the playoffs this year, that would be really disappointing because, yeah, they weren't that far away. They ended up, you know, having a terrible season, but they were kind of in the ball game till very late. So I think they've made like I said, you know, when Zimmer came in 2014 and took the worst defense in the league and rebuilt it in short order, it seems like that's what he's doing now, and I'm sure he's reveling in it. And, you know, I heard recently also about he's been talking to somebody and asking about college defenses and what, you know, looking for innovations out of there just to do new wrinkles for the people that are facing him and think they got him figured out for running the same defense for year after year. So I think with new personnel and some depth at some positions, we have to wait and see what happens with the cornerback position. Hopefully all these guys he's going to bring in, he can put together a unit there that has some depth as well as some top line players. But, you know, regarding the offensive line, I think you kind of hit on it in the regards that they got guys who know the system, so they're going to put them in there so things go smoothly in this mini camp, you know, so that they can get up there and the offense can run and they can make plays. Because, you know, usually I say the offense can be better than the defense because the defense has got to, you know, or whoever's first, you know, when coming together. But I'm looking at it as that, you know, they wanted to be – they're only, like, running hour-long practices, so I think they want them to be – clean and not have to do all the teaching right there. They're gonna say, okay, here's what we're doing.
Yep.
You know, if these guys can demonstrate it, you guys got to go learn it. If you want to get in there and play come training camp and in the regular season, then you've got to hit the books and figure this out. And so I think you'll see that change as they move forward. Because yeah, I agree with that. I don't think Dakota Dozier is your starting left guard come the Cincinnati Bengals game, and it's just a matter of practicality for you know, to so the offense can start clicking, and because they were the better team last year, they're the team that knew what, or I should say, the better side of the ball. They were the team that knew each other and played well and had some success. So have them be like the litmus, or not the litmus test. Have them be placebo is not the right word either, but they're the solid side where, and then you can see what you have on defense, see how they react to what these guys are doing. So rather than have a mishmash and you're trying to find out who's doing what, do something that you know is, go to something that you know is good or solid and generally have the right plays and don't have a lot of new personnel, and then you can see what you got in defense. I don't know, I'm just guessing.
But you make a really good point though that I hadn't thought of, which is, back in the day, I mean, I've gone to every training camp in my entire life, save for the 2005 camp after they traded Moss. And they used to do two-a-days, morning, break, afternoon. They don't do that anymore. You know, they don't – therefore, they don't have as much time for what you're talking about. So they have to go with continuity first.
Efficiency.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's exactly what they're doing now. And I also think that, obviously, you know, they have a lot of youth on this team. So any sort of veteran leadership that they can put out there to show the ropes in any situation, as the second youngest team on average in the NFL, they're going to use. But on the other side of it, you know, obviously, as you mentioned last week, the sooner they can get what they consider their starting five on the offensive line playing together, the better, because they need to basically live together, eat together, you know, gel and become this, you know, homogenous unit of men. Because I think, you know, again, they're going to go as far as the offensive line can take them this season, barring injuries. But going back to something that you mentioned that I hadn't heard was about Zimmer looking at some college football stuff and looking for new wrinkles to his defense. And, you know, I've said multiple times since the draft that I'm shedding the wet blanket sort of panicky gut, like my gut reaction is always the worst possible scenario, you know, and I still have that. It's not like I can just get rid of it. And it just, it harkens to me back to the Eagles game in 2017 and then the start to the 2018 season when Zimmer sort of added too many wrinkles and got, you know, guys were, I think as he put it, weren't really playing. They weren't, they were thinking too much. They weren't playing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do think that this defense does have still enough talent and enough veteran leadership and a core that's still young enough but still has enough veterans for them to really still play the base Zimmer defense and be relatively good. That having been said, you always have to progress in the NFL. Especially now with these younger offensive-minded head coaches. So I'm not saying you should just keep doing the double-A gap blitz thing over and over again, but I do worry a little bit that, you know, Zimmer has, you know, the reference that I made a few times, you know, like a shack behind his house, like the Russell Crowe Beautiful Mind movie with all the red yarn connecting things, trying to create this perfect defense, but sometimes you can, you know, kind of take it too far, and it can backfire. But, you know, it is, again, really exciting to think about, you know, just that they were 7-9 last year. They were a fringe playoff team. I mean, the Bears made the playoffs at, what, 8-8? I mean, they had the middle of that defensive line was paper thin. I mean, teams would just run the ball on them, and that's not going to happen. You know, Anthony Barr came out and I think, you know, endeared himself, at least to me, more. And the way that I titled the article was a little clickbaity, which is not usually my style, unless I'm trying to piss people off from Buffalo, New York. But it was basically, if you didn't like Barr, you will after reading this. And he essentially talked about why he took the pay cut this offseason. And, you know, basically how he knows this is his last season, so why take a pay cut? You know, he said that he wanted to stay here because and take the pay cut because he didn't want, like, the fans' last memory of him to be him being injured and basically missing the majority of the season, and he wanted to come out and have, like, one final good season for the franchise that drafted him and that believed in him. And I thought that was incredibly noble, especially, I mean, and I'm not knocking the player empowerment movement at all. I think they should make as much money as possible, as quickly as possible, you know, more so than any other sport. They're underpaid, their contracts don't mean much, they risk their bodies and minds more than other sports. But, you know, he basically took less money for that reason, and I just thought that was incredible.
That is nice to hear. What's the part about this being his last season? Because he doesn't think the Vikings will renew him.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially the couple articles that I read about it when I was writing that article all said that this was his basic, like, it was a foregone conclusion that this was his swan song season. And so I think that he was alluding also in his quote to saying, like, you know, I wanted to that not to be the last memory people had. But maybe people took it out of context, and he was just saying, if I hadn't taken that pay cut, they would have cut me, and then people would have had their last memory of me being that.
He's going to still continue to play football, but just maybe not here, is what.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Totally. I just think people. Yeah. The writing's kind of on the wall in that regard, and I think a lot of people think he's overpaid. I personally believe that if you put him in a 3-4, a la like Khalil Mack, and let him do what he was kind of built to do and what he did in college, and just rush the quarterback a lot more. I could see him being an absolute nightmare.
He might want to go to a team that does that before he's done playing too, to have that opportunity before he's too old to be effective.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, you know, I think that You know, he does a lot of stuff that doesn't show up on the stat sheet, and I think Zimmer loves him for that. And he asks a lot from Barr, but I think he's, you know, primarily built to do what Khalil Mack does. And if he ended up on a team like that, he could be a complete nightmare. So it would be nice to see him do that, you know, because I think, you know, a lot of Vikings fans don't like him very much, to be completely honest with you, from a performance perspective.
Yeah, and part of that is underperforming, but part of it is what you just said. He does a lot of things that don't show up on the stats, and you know, Zimmer's always said that, and certainly appreciated, like you mentioned. But you know, nobody in this day and age who speculates and talks and wrings their hands about football pays attention to that. They don't know that. A, they might not even know it. B, they, you know, if it's not in the stats column, how do you go back and find that out without watching every bit of tape he's done? So
Yep.
I would agree with. I really like Anthony Barr. You know, I haven't been in the locker room and interviewed him in the past, and he's a thoughtful guy, smart guy, quiet guy. But to hear him say that and what you wrote about is really neat to hear. And you know, it heartens me to know that there's some players out there that A, care about it, and B, have put their money or took their money away from where their mouth is. Good for
Yeah.
him. You know, that's pretty
And he
cool.
already
So
did that once before by, you know,
staying here.
yeah, you basically it was like announced he was on the Jets, then all of a sudden he just wasn't, which, you know, it was great, but at the same time, it was the Jets, so it's kind of like saying, you know, you're gonna move to like Gary, Indiana, and then all of a sudden you don't. There's other factors there. Yeah, so it's, you know, it's exciting. I mean, I does freak me out a little bit anytime I get a little bit of hope in regards to actually making a run. I immediately get terrified. But you know, I do think that you know, this team has a lot of positive, and if that offensive line again it can come together, if they can, you know, find a good kick and punt returner, a good wide receiver three. You know, AJ Mansour from KFan's been writing for us, and he wrote an article this week essentially saying that Larry Fitzgerald was in town and that the Vikings shouldn't let him leave. And I mean, I personally would love to have him play a year for the Vikings. You know, I've said this a ton, but some of these moves are just motivated by me wanting the jersey to hang on my Vikings wall. And I think having a Larry Fitzgerald purple, like a purple Fitz jersey, would be great. But I do also think that he, you know, all the Vikings really need from their wide receiver three is a guy who can, you know, be reliable and maybe once every three games pick up a big third down conversion or a touchdown or something, a la Jarius Wright a few years ago.
Which he could do, yeah.
He totally could, but at the same time, you know, I'm pretty sold on the rookie fifth rounder Amir Smith-Marset, who caught a touchdown on like 12.5% of his catches in college, despite the fact like none of the quarterbacks throwing him the ball ever broke the 60% completion level. And he's a speedster, he's a playmaker. I'm trying to think of. There was a receiver, I think, in Cousins' first year here, that he had played with in Washington, who had like out of his first five catches, four touchdowns. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I can't remember what the heck his name was, but he kind of faded away after that, right? Yeah,
Yeah, but it was just like, wow, that's what I could see, like Smith-Marset being that guy.
Joe,
But
quickly, I have to. I'll go ahead. Finish your
no,
thought.
yeah, that was kind of it.
That's it. Okay, I wanted to chime in real quick on Larry Fitzgerald because, you know, prince of a guy, great for the community. He's one of us here. All these things. You know, I'm not sure he has much left in the tank, but he could probably do what you're saying. But you know, for one reason alone, I'd love to have him here. Not
What?
for the jersey, just to see what it was like in the media room with his dad. His dad.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Imagine the questions if Larry all of a sudden had to have a big game in purple and his dad's, you know, I don't know. It's a new dynamic that would be worth seeing. So, you know.
Yeah, doesn't he write for the Examiner?
The spokesman.
Mm.
The spokesman in yeah.
Yeah, so, that would be incredibly entertaining and interesting.
I think it would be.
Aldrick Robinson was the guy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That caught those touchdowns. But I, yeah, you know, I don't know. You know, I also don't think you know, Fitz would require that much money. I think he would, you know, come here just kind of for like a hometown discount sort of thing.
Then you should do it. What do they got, like $12 million left under the cap, but they need some of that for injuries throughout the season. But if he's willing to do that, Joan, I don't know. Do you know that? I don't. I mean, he's a nice guy, but I don't know if he's if he wants to. He's had such a great career. Do you want to come back in front of the hometown fans and have this kind of season that is really underwhelming and the last memory, you know, speaking of what Barr said, I don't know.
Good point. And you know, he's very loyal to Arizona, and I think he would like to be a one team guy,
right?
So there's that. And you know, again, I think that the Vikings have other options on the roster. You know, and there's only so many balls to go around too. I mean,
exactly. I mean, are you concerned about their receiving core right now? I am not. Everybody talks about wide receiver three, and I just don't worry about it. I mean, I think Chad Beebe could do what is needed there because they have such two really good top line receivers in Jefferson and Thielen, and then you've got emerging tight end receiving core, and these guys all the backs can catch the ball out of the backfield. I'm not worried about throwing the ball for this squad.
And that's been the hype in all the practices and in minicamp and stuff thus far, is that BB's just been on fire. And there's been a lot of like video like tweets people are sending out saying like BB's just been like, he's the answer, but I have a feeling that we've heard that before.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems like every year BB's sort of like, that's what everyone, it's going to be BB's year. and it just never really kind of materializes into anything. But one thing that's strange to me is that, you know, I know why people are still fixated on the wide receiver three thing. Because they were looking for one for so long, and you know, then when BC Johnson became the wide receiver two, he was sort of mediocre, but we were used to Treadwell being so terrible that people kind of elevated him to a level that I don't think he really deserved. But he just then all of a sudden disappeared. It's not as if he was atrocious, like. Yeah. I just don't think he was that good, but I thought he was very serviceable and run of the mill, and he could do everything that I mentioned earlier. You know, pick up a first down if you need it, catch the ball from time to time, and it just seems like he is gone. You know, no one talks about him anymore. So it's kind of weird.
The mental ship has kind of sailed on him. I mean, you know, people don't. Aren't saying BC. I remember typing that at one point when he made a great play.
Or Ola Beastie. Yeah, Beastie, everyone was calling him.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, there's somebody in that at TCO for Performance Center that likes Chad Beebe. You know, when he's healthy, he's gotten the opportunities and he has performed to a degree. You know, he has, he doesn't have the body, he doesn't have the, probably the speed, but he certainly has the quickness and he's got the hands, and maybe that's what they're looking for in that, because they keep running him out there year after year. He keeps making the team, you know, and he kind of fulfills that Jarius Wright role and gets those. So I, Maybe you got to beat out him, and if Beasley can't do that, if that isn't his skill set, then that's probably why he's not getting chances. I don't know, but it's clear to me that somebody on that team in the personnel department loves Chad Beebe because he's still there.
What is your
Mobo's probably available too, Joe, just in case, you know.
Mobo?
Any interested in Mobo? No? Okay.
All I have to say is that Thielen better just watch his back. Because you never know.
Don't be making the DLers, the Detroit Lakers, mad at us now.
Oh, God, I didn't even think about that. Man, I'm lucky. You have to use a fob like 6 times to get up to my apartment. Otherwise, I'd be in trouble. It seems like to me, there's this increasing amount of hate for the Vikings uniforms, and that people want them to change them. And I have never been a huge fan of changing uniforms, especially twice a decade. You know, I hated the early Wilf era, sort of the Brett Favre ones. You know, they looked very arena football-y to me. My favorites, obviously, are the ones I grew up on. I'm sure that's what everybody says. But I mean, where are you on the jerseys? Because honestly, outside of the ones I grew up on, the classic ones, I mean, these are the best. They're much better than what we had before.
You know, Joe, I don't even care. You probably knew that was coming because I'm old school in that regard, and I like the classic uniforms. I don't know when this changed, but I know it changed, you know, from a money standpoint, you know, decades ago where, we got to get different uniforms so that we can sell more merchandise. And now everybody that's crabbing about the Vikings uniform wants, they just look across here, across there, and see the other teams doing it. And so they want that excitement. You know, they want to buy a new jersey or whatever it is. That's not for me. I'm more concerned about what's inside the jersey. But I did like the matte helmets when they had those for a while. I don't know if they still do. I thought those were pretty cool. I think they still do. And but that's a subtle change. You know, if they ever get rid of the Vikings logo, I'm done with them. I mean, that's as far as I go. Those horns on the side of the helmets. Oh. I think they're classic. And nobody, you know, I mean, so many teams don't have really good logos. The Vikings are one of them. You know, I've heard people from other teams just say that, that's one of those classic things because, you know, I don't know why. Maybe it's been around so long. But, I mean, you don't see some of the great franchises changing willy-nilly all the time. I mean, how many different uniforms have the Packers had, you know?
The Bears.
You know, the Steelers. You know, there's a reason why. And the Vikings still probably want to harken back to the 70s to a degree when they were really dominant. And they were, you know, one of the best teams in the league. I don't care. I kind of like. I think it's fun to have that Thursday night Purple Rush thing. I really did like them bringing back the purple pants for the team a few years ago.
Me too.
Because I had those as a kid, and I always thought that was a great look. So I really liked that. And the Purple Rush thing is fun. I thought, well, good. Maybe that will satisfy people. They got something else to buy, and I think it is. You know, to for some of the fans, but. You know, to change it again, I just don't get it. I want to see them win a Super Bowl in their classic Vikings uniforms. God darn it.
I think you're right, though. Like, I've always kind of wondered if I would believe this if I wasn't a Vikings fan, but I do think that of every NFL franchise, the Vikings helmets are the best.
Yeah,
you know they represent the team. They make sense. They're super cool looking. You know,
exactly.
So any changes like that, it just seems like only bad franchises make those changes because they need a reason to sell jerseys and they can't sell jerseys otherwise because they're not good.
Correct.
You know, and so just stop messing with things. I don't even think the Lions have changed theirs much.
That's a good point.
And they're not good. So. You know, just stop messing with what we have, you know, and you know, we're a top five regular season franchise, so we shouldn't have to change that often.
Joe, I don't know where you are as far as this goes, but, you know, when I see logos, I mean, I used to collect baseball cards a little bit when I was a kid, and or my brother really did, and I would look at them, you know, and see these old logos. They imprinted on my brain, so that when I would see them nowadays, I would get this little of, you know, this little feeling of nostalgia or something, that you get this little rush,
yeah,
you know, that takes you back. And just by looking at that logo, and I say, oh God, these things are powerful, you know, and to change them completely. And we've seen some really bad iterations of different logos and such. And, you know, it just seems wrong, because that to me is so cool that you can look at something, whether it be the uniforms or the logos, and just get this little momentary feeling of nostalgia. It's really cool. It shows you how powerful branding and logos and such,
yep,
are. So if you changed it every 2-3 years, you know, you're certainly not going to get that, you know, or you're just going to get a lot of people saying, oh, we got another uniform to throw back to. Well, that does nothing for me.
Exactly. Yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah, you know, and I think what they have now works well. I think it looks fine. I think you're right. The purple pants, I think, are really cool. I wasn't used to those growing up. They still roll those out from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I
don't think they win very much when they wear them, though, unfortunately.
Yeah,
those are...
yeah, I think you're right. You know, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it seems like something, you know, every time I write an article about it, or I'll show, like, you know, these graphic design people that create, you know, different versions of helmets or whatever. Some of them are kind of cool, but you don't need to mess with perfection.
Damn
at
right.
All. Speaking of the Packers, though, you wrote a great article about Aaron Rodgers this week that it's on Purple PTSD right now. It'll be on Vikings territory by the time this show airs on KDLM tonight at from 7 to like 7:45. But if you wanted to kind of explain your piece there.
Well, it's a little embarrassing because, you know, it started last week when we, you and I and Sally talked about Aaron Rodgers and his hissy fit and such, and you guys took the tack of they mishandled him, and but the management mishandled how to, you know, by not telling him they were going to draft a quarterback, and I took the opposite side, A, because it makes good radio, and B, because that's what I believe. I think that and the article you mentioned that in an article you wrote about it with some new information, and you mentioned that I disagreed, and I just said, well, my take is a little more nuanced than that. So I came out and thin-skinned. I'm as thin-skinned as Aaron Rodgers is, and came out with a story about it. So
after drinking a bottle of tequila as well.
So I just kind of laid out my reasoning behind it, you know, and I just. You know, you can go back and read it, and some of it we talked about it last week, so I don't want to belabor too much. But it comes down to, you know, Aaron, you know, get over it and go play football, and that's what I think he's going to do, because, you know, right now he's really messing with his team. You know, if in fact he does think he's going to come back and play, despite, because he doesn't have any that old line from Seinfeld, he doesn't have enough hand in this situation. He doesn't have enough, you know, he's behind the eight ball, kind of like Danielle Hunter was. You know, they had to find out first if he had a healthy neck before they can then redo.
If they traded him, they'd end up paying like almost $40 million for him to play elsewhere. They're not going to do that.
No, they're not. And, you know, they're going to try whatever they can to get him in here and get him happy. And, you know, and right now, is this is this the petulant Aaron Rodgers just trying to, you know, mess with Gutekunst because he doesn't like him and he's pissed off? I mean, he seems to be really a guy who lives by the feud, as they say in the movie Outlaw Josie Wales, that if you've done me wrong, I'm going to get you back somehow, or else, like our former president likes to do. But I just think, you know you're not going to want, you know, he's not going to sit for a year. I just don't see it happening. I love the fact that this is happening and it's disruptive and what have you. But as I mentioned in the piece, maybe that isn't so good, because we saw what he did last year when he came back and got pissed off. He won the MVP. So, you know, I don't know. It's a lot of off season drama at this point. I mean, they don't seem to be getting down and trying to hammer this out. They keep airing it out in the press, you know, which seems to be Aaron Rodgers' deal. I mean, you know, the whole relax thing and then the whole Purple Crush thing. I mean, he likes to play his little games in the media, and here now he's doing this, and even to the point where he's got his star receiver Devontae Adams thinking about, well, you know, if he's not happy, I don't know if he's not going to be around, I don't know if I'm going to be around. That's bad.
Yeah.
Stop doing that to your team. Or, in other words, keep doing that to your team.
Yeah, it does feel different from last year. You know, I mean, last year the chip on his shoulder also came from internal motivations or slights that he was upset about. He was mad at the team, so it's similar in that way, but it also kind of feels a lot more, as you just mentioned, disruptive, and like, you know, I just don't see him like having the same sort of, like, it's hard for me to explain it, but last year I think he wanted to prove the team wrong for drafting Jordan Love, and then this year I think he's just so upset about not just the Jordan Love thing, but not being involved in other decisions, and basically hating everyone that's in charge of the team, from the coaches up to the general manager to the management. And I just can't really foresee that manifesting into him having this great year, because it is just such a much more disruptive, much more publicly dirty laundry being aired situation.
Right.
You know, yeah. Where it's becoming more, like I said, each week it feels like it gets worse, and you would think that the powers that be in Green Bay would be doing everything in their power to make it get better, but it just seems like both sides aren't willing to really move an inch, and they can't trade him, they can't justify paying that amount of his salary. Who knows? I mean, he's, you know, either, I can't remember if he's engaged or already married. But, you know, his fiance and or wife is a famous actress who has a lot of money, you know. So if he doesn't care about, you know, legacy and numbers, you know, I'm sure financially he can justify not playing for a year or whatever. And I'm sure, you know, he already knows that he can't break a lot of records because he sat behind Favre for so long. But who knows? I mean, you know, I don't want to, you know, say certain things about his family and how they don't get along, but it, you know, there seems to be a through line in regards to the way that he handles situations and interpersonal communication and relationships that, you know, don't seem to work out that great. And, you know, and you can tell, you know, either people who either are in the wrong in those situations or have had a lot of trauma or bad experiences with people. I mean, I'll be fully honest. You know, a lot of my motivation coming out of college and even in building this network came from, you know, a lot of sort of traumatic personal situations where I wanted to do as well as possible to show people that I was of value. You know what I mean? It was a very important to me to be successful, disproportionately so, so people might hear about it and say, oh, hey, maybe I shouldn't have broke that guy's heart because he clearly is, you know, a successful, good guy, you know? And that's not a healthy reason to get up every single day and work, you know what I mean? And I'm not implying that I understand where his motivations come from, but you can see part of that, and so...
Oh, absolutely. George, you said in your story about it, you said he's splitting the fan base, and why would you want to stand between the fan base and your organization? I don't get that. I mean, this week on Twitter, he was online... there was a little thing on him with Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady and I can't remember who the fourth guy is. Charles Barkley, I don't think so, but they're going to do one of those match play things in golf, and they were promoting it. Well, Aaron Rodgers is wearing a shirt that says "I'm offended," you know. So he's continuing to do it again, and some reason to keep the feud going, and I don't. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's very, it's different, but it reminds me a little bit of Diggs.
Yes.
You know, it's what people that in Buffalo that get really angry when I write about Diggs don't seem to understand is that, you know, Diggs got what he wanted, but he keeps at every opportunity bashing the Vikings and its fan base, you know. And it's like, if he is this matured person, as they say, you know, which my response always is, when has anyone in human history who's been rewarded handsomely for bad behavior changed that behavior? You know, it doesn't make any sense. But you know, if he got everything he wanted and he's a happy guy and so on and so forth, why is he still bashing the Vikings? Just move on, you know. But he can't do that, and that's just the way his personality works. I mean, even the people that are in his corner in that ESPN article said, you know, Diggs will be your best friend, but if you cross him or if he feels that you betray him, he will basically destroy you. And that's not the something, you know, like if I was applying for a high level job and I put you down as a reference and that's what you told them when they called you, did you think I would get that job? No, of course not. You know, and so again, some people can use things like that to motivate themselves, and they can use it to motivate themselves at the highest level. And Diggs and Rodgers perform at the highest of levels. And you have to dig deep, and it's a very public job, and it's a lot of pressure, and I understand that. But, you know, Rodgers has always just had this demeanor of a petulant child, even in the best of times. And it just seems like, yeah, you know.
Yep.
I would love to, you know, just see him be the full-time replacement of the host of Jeopardy and see him, like, get into some weird feud with the judges there. You know, just get very angry that they don't agree with his take on things. But yeah, it's fun. I mean, it is very, 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 very gratifying as a Vikings fan. I was a little surprised, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I am kind of a little fuzzy as to whether it was you or Sally or both, but I had mentioned last week when we talked about this that I would take Rodgers in 2022 just to have that jersey. Yet again, my jersey motivation.
Yes, you did say that, yes.
And I think Sally said she wouldn't. And I can't remember if you said you would want Rodgers on the team or not, but I think you said no, too. And, you know, I think that Rodgers is a better quarterback than Favre was. I think he's more talented. I think he makes less mistakes.
Agreed.
You know, I but I also, I guess, am a little surprised by the amount of Vikings fans that wouldn't want him on the team. When, I mean, growing up, I will say I could not stand Brett Favre. I could not stand hearing Madden talk about how much fun he was having and how he was a little kid out there and all that sort of thing. And just, you know, his ability to, you know, the Vikings would be winning the whole game. Then we'd go into the prevent defense for some reason. And then he'd always march down the field and win. And it was just like, God, I can't stand that guy. But the second I heard he was coming, I worked in an office probably 10 minutes. I was on the same frontage road that led right to Winter Park. And I was there, you know, the entire time that every time I would go on Reddit and hear that the rumor was that he was at the airport and the plane landed from Hattiesburg, I would risk my employment and take a vacation day and just be like, nope, bye. And I completely did a 180, and I was like, yeah, I've always hated him, but I'd love to have him on the team. I thought he was the key to winning a Super Bowl. I was almost right. I'm not acting like I was alone in that thought process.
No.
But
no.
You know, I think Rodgers.
Pieces are in place.
You know, I think Rodgers. If the Vikings had Rodgers in 2018, well, if the Vikings had Rodgers in 2017, they would have won the Super Bowl. I don't know about 2018 because the defense wasn't as good as it had been. I also think Rodgers, maybe people are picking up on this a little bit more, but his record in the NFC Championship games is not great. But I'm just, I guess, a little surprised that people wouldn't want him on the team.
I would, you know, I was all in on Favre because, and here's the reason why. I hated getting beat by him all those years, but I liked the way he played the game. I liked the way he knew that he was playing it because he loved to play football. He wasn't playing it for Brett Favre. He was praying to win and to just have gas and just beat the guy across the league. He just brought joy to the game for anybody that watched him. You know, and I'm great. Maybe because I'm from Madden's it vintage, that has something to do with it. Maybe it's a throwback to when they played for the love of it more than the money for it now. Rodgers is that, got a different personality, a different demeanor. He's got that kind of petulant child to him. He's got that, you know, he was slighted. So until, you know, it's always about proving everybody wrong. You know, he's still bitter about being passed over to number 24 in his original draft.
But look how Brady handled it versus how he handles it.
Yes, I mean, exactly. So that's why I would not – his personality is why I'm not sure I want to go down that, oh, my God, we need a Packers quarterback in order for us to win a Super Bowl. I accepted it with Favre just because I wanted one so bad and I liked him. I don't know if I could get there. You know, I think it would be exciting from a Viking standpoint, and it would be kind of fun to see someone who's so lives by the feud would go after his old team, even worse than Favre did.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know, I might have to take a shower after. You know, I don't know. I don't know. So that's where I'm at. And I get you. You know, from a pure football standpoint, I want a Super Bowl. Bring him in, you know, but you know, no offense, keep your freaking attitude at the door, dude. Just go play football you know, I don't know.
Well,
it's a different thing.
Part of the Favre thing for me was that I knew it would really bother Packers fans.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think a lot of Packers fans are over Rodgers right now, and I don't think it would be the same. You know what I mean? So that wouldn't be as fun. I mean, the first thing I did was buy a shirt of – it was like a cartoon drawing of Favre peeing on the state of Wisconsin. And I still have that. It's framed.
Sure. Joe, if he came in and Rodgers won a Super Bowl here and Cousins had to go, oh, my God, you could never say Big Ten in this house and this podcast again.
I know. And I also, you know, there's that. Then you'd probably have the angle of Packers fans being like, "You couldn't. The only reason you won was because of us."
Yes, they love it.
You know, but they would always find an angle, regardless. You know.
Oh, they had definitely had that one teed up in the Florida days if that would have happened. But, you know, the other thing that's always amazed me, I had how many people tell me he'll break your heart. And I go, no, he won't. He's done that. He's learned. Well, he broke her heart. He did something very bad. Broke our heart.
This is a Detroit man. This is the Super Bowl. Maybe one of the best quotes of all time. Well, that's a good place to put a pin in it. I want to just let everybody know to keep an eye out on Vikings Territory and Purple PTSD. In the next week, we're going to be rolling out a really cool sort of partnership with Paul Charchian, the fantasy football godfather from KFan, the guy who started basically the first fantasy football website ever in Fanball. Now he has a new fantasy football company and website called GuillotineLeagues.com, where essentially you're in a league of 18 people, and each week every team competes against every other team, and the lowest scoring team of that week gets cut for the entire season, and then their players go onto the waiver wire, and we are partnering with them to have 12 different leagues. Each league has either a fantasy football quote-unquote expert, a former Vikings or NFL player, a journalist of note, and so we're going to be announcing that, and we're looking for people who consider themselves to be fantasy football experts, and you'll be able to go up against guys like me, like Mr. Oberly here, Matt Burke, AJ Mansour from KFan, Bob Sansevier, Mike Wobby Wobshaw, so on and so forth, and win a lot of money if you win your league. So we'll have more details about that next week. We're really excited to be partnered with Guillotine Leagues and with Mr. Charchian. So keep an eye out for that. We'll probably have a couple articles about that between tonight's show and next week. And beyond that, we have some other really cool news kind of coming up in the next couple weeks. The Oofta app is getting closer to completion, and so that's really exciting. And so we're just really looking forward to the off season, and by the time the season starts, we'll have a really cool place for everyone to come together and get all their Vikings and Minnesota sports news and be able to talk about it essentially in every way known to man. And so I want to again thank everybody for their support of this show and of the websites, because we wouldn't be able to do it without you guys, and it really actually means a tremendous amount to us that you guys support what we do. So thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. This has been the Vikings Territory Breakdown for the 16th of June, 2021.